My tower, thee will I adore. Thee will I love, O Almighty, so long as life is mine.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The young man said to Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus talked to him about treasure in heaven and come and follow Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 10 is teaching us about what does it mean to have eternal life and the treasure of heaven. Have you noticed that people will either live for eternal life or they'll live just for the now? Some people will live just for today and completely ignore eternity. They don't want to face it, they don't want to think about it, and so they just live for the now with no thought whatsoever for eternity. Other people strive to gain eternity based upon what they do, what they think, their own actions, trying to find immortality in themselves or some philosophy or some teaching. Jesus is telling us today that eternal life is found in Him. Our greatest treasure is Christ. And it's not that we earn that eternal life by something we do, but because of what Christ has done for us. This is what He wanted to teach this rich young ruler, and what He wants to teach us as well. So, are you living for now or for eternity? Do you want the assurance of eternal life and the treasure in heaven? Well, that is what Jesus wants to give you. In the context of Mark chapter 10, a rich young man had great possessions. And he ran up to Jesus and knelt before him. You have to admire his fervor and his dedication. And he asks a question which has been the question of the ages. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This is the state of most hearts of people who've not been enlightened by God the Holy Spirit or the Word of Christ. Most people think, if I'm going to have eternal life, it's something I have to do. I've got to earn it, or I've got to find the secret myself to inherit eternal life. So our Lord is going to answer that question today, and we're going to look at this gift of eternal life by seeing how Jesus responds to this young man who he loves and really wants to guide into the truth, so that you and I can know for certain that we have eternal life, the greatest treasure of heaven. In order to give this gift to this young man and to give this gift to you and me, there's three aspects to this text in Mark 10. First of all, Jesus is going to apply what is called the first table of the law, commandments 1, 2, and 3, no other gods before me, don't take God's name in vain, and remember the Sabbath day, to love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. So he's going to speak about that first table of the law with this young man. Then he's going to talk about the second table of the law, loving your neighbor as yourself, which are commandments 4 through 10, honor your parents, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and do not covet. And then what he wants this young man to realize, that he must despair of himself and trust Jesus alone for the treasure of eternal life. So let's first look at how Jesus applies the first table of the law to love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength to this young man. Jesus says to him, "You call me good. No one is good except God alone." In the biblical worldview, to call something good means it has to come from God. Only God is good, holy, and without blemish. That's good with a capital G. Only God is good. And so Jesus is trying to get this man to realize, if you call me good, do you recognize that I am God, that I am Lord? Jesus looked at him and loved him because he knew this man didn't grasp that yet. And so Jesus is telling him, if you're going to try to do something to inherit eternal life, if you think that's the way to go and you can earn it yourself, then you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Jesus is telling this young man and telling you and me, if you think you're going to earn heaven, then you're going to have to perfectly keep the first table of the law and have no other gods before me. And for this young man, that meant giving away everything you have to the poor. You know the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And you know that when we hear the law of God, it has three uses. It's a curb on society, it's a mirror that shows our sin, and it's a guide for our life. And here Jesus wants it to be a mirror to this man. As he looks in it, he realizes, I do have other gods, it's my money, but I can't leave that behind. And so he's disheartened, he goes away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. His possessions had become his God. For you and me, to inherit eternal life is to admit, because of our sinful nature, that we have had other gods. It might be fame, it might be pleasure, it might be money. For some people, it's all about power. If we trust these things, then we are breaking the first commandment and having other gods before Christ himself. What truly should have happened for this young man is he should have said, Lord, I want to serve you. I guess I have made my possessions my God. Have mercy on me. And then Jesus could have worked with him to see that Christ would give him the treasure of heaven. But the man didn't hang around long enough. He was disheartened, and he went away sorrowful. The first table of the law, to love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, is indeed the goal for the Christian and will be perfectly consummated in heaven. When we're finally set free from our sinful nature and will be totally consumed with the love and the holiness of God. Till that day, every day we have to battle the sin that desires to make other things or other people God before God. That's the first table of the law. But Jesus also applies the second table of the law to this young man, to love your neighbor as yourself, which is commandments 4 through 10. And so Jesus continues, well, young man, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal or bear false witness or defraud. Honor your father and mother. And you have to admire this man's honesty. He says, all these I've kept from my youth. You almost think Jesus wanted to say, what? You've kept these from your youth? You haven't kept these commandments perfectly. Nobody can except God alone. And this man, who's still thinking about eternal life as something he could purchase or something he could buy, honestly thinks that he's done pretty good when it comes to those commandments. So tell me the next step I need to take. The second table of the law, love your neighbor as yourself, also acts as a curb and a mirror and guide for us. And it certainly acts as a mirror. Because of our rebellious, sinful nature, not only do we not love our neighbor as ourself, we love ourselves before our neighbor. We want to meet our needs first, and then if I have time for you, I'll get around to it. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to realize that not only have we not kept the first table of the law, neither have we kept the second table of the law. And you know, your conscience tells you immediately when you've broken this. Because you do something and you realize, I just destroyed that person. I just hurt that person. And I'm ashamed. This is the real purpose of the law. The real purpose of the law is for us to despair of saving ourselves. Unfortunately, this young man thought the purpose of the law was steps he could follow to earn eternal life. But we know this, and this is the reality of the gospel. It is only Jesus who kept both the first and second table of the law for us, who died in our place, kept the law perfectly, and through faith in him, we have eternal life. This is the gift God wanted to give to this young man, and this is the gift he wants to give to you and to me. And so, when he calls Jesus the good teacher, he was right. Jesus is truly good. He is true man. He died in our place, dying the death that we deserved. When we share in Christ, then our confidence is from him. We recognize that every time we hear the word of Jesus, we are hearing the voice of the living God. We exhort one another that he is our rest, he is our treasure, and he is gift. Isn't it amazing in your life sometimes how one scripture passage gives you great comfort? You're wondering about your life, and Jesus says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You are feeling downcast, and Jesus says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. You look around the world and say, it's completely falling apart. And it is. And Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You see, you are realizing that my hope can only be in Jesus. I can't earn eternal life. It's a gift that he gives in his flesh, given for me upon the cross. And you realize that Jesus is also true God. He kept the law perfectly in all aspects of the law. He is the Lord, our righteousness, who came from the Lord God of hosts, who is with you and is gracious to you. Because not only did he keep that law for you as the second Adam, he allowed the punishment you deserved to fall upon him. The reason why the scripture says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin is because Jesus is the true Passover lamb, the lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this is not something that just happened 2,000 years ago. Think about how that treasure has come to you. Your parents or your grandparents brought you to a baptismal font and had you baptized with real water in the name of the triune God. You were taught by Sunday school teachers. You were confirmed by a pastor and heard the word of God preached to you. And as you heard the word of absolution that your sins are forgiven and are about to take Christ's body and blood under the bread and wine, this is your greatest treasure. No one can take Christ away from you. When our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and said, even from the cross, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," he was showing love to the soldiers, just like he showed love to this young man. He shows love to you. He loves you dearly because you are his child, and he knows your name. He knows everything about you, and he knows exactly what you need each day. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our only treasure. Through faith in Christ, who kept the law for us and died in our place, through him, we have the gift of eternal life, not because something we do, but because what he has done for us. It's really about what Christ has done for us, isn't it? We're about to celebrate Reformation, and the theme is that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone, as revealed in Scripture alone. This is a gift. This is not something I earned or you earned. Christ is our greatest treasure. And that's what Jesus wanted for this young man. And when we realize he's our greatest treasure, then we will come and follow him. Then we will want to love the Lord above all. And we will want to love our neighbor as ourselves, because as Christ's redeemed children, that is who we are. There are some Bible scholars that think that Mark is actually being autobiographical here, that John Mark's actually speaking about himself, that he was this rich young man who later on woke up, became a disciple of Christ, and actually wrote this gospel. I'm not sure if that's true or not, because there's no end to this story. We don't know what happened to this young man. But what Christ is saying is, what's more important for you is, what about you? In Jesus, you can seek the Lord and speak the truth and be prudent and wise. You can seek good for others and not evil. You can hate evil and love good. We can exhort one another, as we call it today, and hold to our confidence to the end. As we've heard his voice now, we will hear his voice in heaven. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared from you before the foundation of the world. Inherit that gift through faith alone in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you. You have the assurance of the gift of eternal life, and you and I will joyfully follow Jesus even unto death, because in death we will be brought to him in heaven as we await the glorious resurrection of our bodies. Thank the Lord today that you inherit the gift of eternal life, the treasure in heaven that is found in Jesus alone. May that comfort you and give you joy today, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. We now confess this great treasure in the Nicene Creed on page 158. We stand to confess.